Hey, folks, welcome to another episode of the Smooth Burrito. I'm Frank.
And I'm Trevor.
And hey, we both finally don't have COVID, everyone. You've been wondering where we were.
That was a fun time.
Fuck that. Did you have heart problems now?
Yeah. And still a lingering cough almost a month later, so that's great.
Yeah. But yeah, fuck COVID. That's my review of COVID is fuck COVID.
Yeah, I give it a 1 out of 10. Never again. Don't recommend.
Yeah, COVID, don't play this video game. But yeah, so I have been playing some stuff in the interim, but I figure I'll let you talk about what you've been playing lately.
Sure, yeah, of course. So playing a lot of Fire Emblem Engage. And I got like mad hooked on that. So it took me a while to get into it because it felt so Three Houses I was a huge fan of. I like Persona, I like kind of like that social aspect of it, but I've been a fan of Fire Emblem games for a while, since probably the Game Boy Advance, really. I like those tactical style games. I just always kind of get hooked on them. And this one just felt very kind of old school Fire Emblem a little bit. And it, like, what can I say? It's like, so the pacing is different, right? It's like talking, cutscenes, stuff like that, and then battle. Talking, cutscenes, stuff like that, battle. It just, like, gets you straight into it. Like, I started the game, and it was just, like, battle after battle, like, right away. And I was like, okay, this is weird. So it took some getting used to, but then I got, like, crazy hooked on it and played it, like, a ton, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I like the characters. I like how it's much more strategic and tactical than Three Houses. I feel like this one focuses more on the combat than Three Houses did. But if I had to choose one of the two, I'd lean Three Houses. I felt like that game was more fleshed out, but really enjoying Engage, playing a lot of that. Persona 3 and 4 launched on the Switch the same week, so I'm dipping my toe back into Persona 4, probably for like my third playthrough, but you know, damn. I love those games so much. It's like one of my favorite series of all time, so playing Persona 4, it's one of those like feel good games, and I had COVID and really could have used a like nice feel good game, so Persona 4 came out at like the perfect time for that.
Yeah, turn-based gaming is great for when you're sick too, because you don't really have to have like reflexes.
Yeah, and it's a game I've played before, so I like know all the secrets and the stuff I need to do, and it was just like really nice, like kind of getting into that world again. And yeah, I'm still really enjoying Persona 4, dipping in and out of that one. But yeah, those are the two main games I've been playing lately.
Yeah, for me, outside of my standard repertoire of weird fighting games, I have been messing around with MechWarrior 5. I like the idea of a four-player co-op MechWarrior game. That's really cool. But in practice, the difficulty curve is weird, and there's some, like, the AI is just real dumb, like, and it just feels like it's lacking in certain areas, but there's also a ton of mods, so I have to mess with those to see if I can improve the experience. But yeah, that's messing with that's been interesting, and I got it for like $15, so I'm not like super bummed that it's probably, you know, a 5 or a 7 or whatever. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of that. That's been fun. Other than that, what we're gonna talk about, I haven't been playing much.
I did play and finish Callisto Protocol. Forgot to mention that. You know what? I love horror games. I'm a huge fan of horror games. This one is like, I'm so conflicted, Frank, with it, because easily it's the best looking game I've ever played in my life, and it's not close. Damn. in terms of like graphical fidelity and just how like it looks better than a movie. It's so insane. Like it looks like I was like truly one of the first games I played on my PS5 where I've been like, this is like really a huge step up from like last gen. There's some issues with the pacing and some repetitive stuff. But I enjoyed my time with it and I kept finding myself coming back to it. So like I'm one of those people now, like I'm a little bit older, so like I don't push myself to finish games if I don't like them. Like if I'm not having fun with a game, I just don't play it anymore. Like I ain't got time for that shit. But I kept finding myself like I would get crazy frustrated, come away from a play session and be like, man, I just don't, you know, like, oh man, that really pissed me off, or I wasn't feeling that part of that game, but I would always gravitate back to it. And it wasn't necessarily the story. The story is a little, I don't know. I don't feel like it, like it kind of just throws you into it and expects you to like pick up all these pieces and piece together like the real details of the story on your own. But it was the horror elements. It did provide some really like, not just jump scares, but just like the environments and kind of just like everywhere that you were going and seeing and the different enemies and stuff you were facing. It was pretty good. You know, like if I was to like rate it, it'd probably be somewhere in like the sevens. You know what I mean? Like it's not a great game, but it was good. And I finished it, enjoyed it. I felt like it was the perfect length. It didn't overstay its welcome. And yeah, I liked it a lot.
Nice. I'd be interested to see how that stacks up against that Dead Space remake that came out recently, but I haven't really looked into either of them.
I can't say that it's anywhere near as good as Dead Space. I think Dead Space is one of the best all-time horror games. I haven't played the remake yet. I want to because I really like that game, but yeah, in terms of just quality of game, I think Dead Space is miles ahead of Callisto Protocol. And it should be said that the original makers of Dead Space like went off and made Callisto Protocol, but it's not Dead Space level of good.
Yeah, it's hard to even if you're the studio who made a thing, even if you're like one of the key people who made that thing, it can be hard to chase the dragon of your old franchise. You know, we saw it with like Mighty Number 9 and how that was a disaster. And this actually segs me into our next topic. We saw it with Back for Blood, the Turtle Rock game that was supposed to be, hey, it's made by the Left 4 Dead people, this is the new Left 4 Dead, but like,
yeah,
they couldn't really figure out how to make that game work with the card system that they wanted.
Yeah, the card system I think ruined it. I played that game and I just didn't hit for me. Yeah,
for me the problem with that game was like it depending on the cards that you got, and you know, it was randomly assigned, depending on the cards you got, the following mission would either be really difficult or incredibly trivial and was just kind of random based on the cards you got. And it seemed like their solution to like having a minimum difficulty floor was just making everything bullet sponges.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, they announced that game, it's not getting updates anymore. Which that's not a live service game, but they announced that at the same time as a bunch of other live service games got the plug pulled on them. The one that I was most kind of bummed about was Rumbleverse, which was the Iron Galaxy Battle Royale brawler game that I didn't even know it had come out. That's how quick they get fucking yanked the cord on it. And most people that I saw were like, man, I didn't know this actually hit. I thought it was still in beta, so that sucks. I honestly hope that they can revive that thing somehow, but I don't know. Since they took Epic money, I don't know how ensnared it was in that, but I think you could still like make a traditional video game out of that, and it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, a bunch of live service stuff took the hit. I honestly don't think that live service games are really going to be a thing like that you see companies experimenting with going forward, because like it's a premise like the whole we can have an infinite like a player base forever and thus regular money forever thing doesn't really make sense, because I don't know about you, but I only have the time to play one game consistently. And
yeah, I wish I have a bad habit of jumping between like too many games. I think two is like always where I sit around. I usually have something I'm playing on my Switch and then something I'm playing on my PS5. Where I jump into trouble is when I'm like, I'm trying to play Fire Emblem Gage, which is like a 30 something hour game, and Persona 4, which is like an 80 hour game, or and then adding in like some other PS5 game to that, and I'm like, dude, I'm never gonna finish any of these now. Yeah, because I can't just focus on one game. Like, I just keep bouncing between them.
Yeah, and I also just think, like, getting someone hooked like that requires a level of prowess in terms of making your game, and also making your game addictive in ways that can be very scummy, that I don't think a lot of companies have in them anymore. Like, they honestly try to, usually they just get too greedy, and then, it falls through that way. But yeah. not a great look for live service games these days.
Used to be MMOs that used to hook me in a lot, you know, back in the day with WoW and Star Wars, among a few other random MMOs trickled in there, but MMOs just used to reel me in a little bit too much. But I don't get hooked on games like that anymore.
And it's funny because, like, MMOs, too, were kind of a similar deal where you had your big whales, you know, you had your you mentioned Star Wars, you had, of course, World of Warcraft, you had EverQuest, and that, like, now you have, like, one of the only surviving MMOs with a large player base, Final Fantasy
14
number. Yeah, yeah, I couldn't remember which one, I can never remember which one.
That was the last one I think I got into, and I still dip in every once in a while. That is probably the best MMO I've ever played. It's incredible how it grabbed me for so long, and I still am like interested every time they announce like a new expansion. I'm like, oh, maybe I should jump in and play that. But yeah, it's great.
Final yeah, and like for all of those, you have like dozens of ones that just kind of died on the vine. Like, do you remember Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa at all?
No, dude.
It was a fucking sci-fi MMO by the Ultima guy that died real fucking quick. Like, fucking Toontown finally died.
Oh my god, man.
People were sad about that one.
Yeah. What was there was this one that was like a Western style MMO that I kind of got into back in the Geek Squad days. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't. That actually sounds pretty cool, though.
I can't remember the name of it, but it died a little bit too quick, I think. It was fun. I had fun with it. I just can't remember the name of it.
Yeah. And then there's stuff like the Warhammer 40K MMO that just straight up didn't come out.
Yeah.
Being really excited for like I was reading, I remember I was in a barber shop and I saw ads for that alongside like Star Wars Jedi Outcast, I think.
Oh god.
I suppose we could also talk about the Nintendo Direct. The only news that I know for certain out of that, because I didn't read the rest of it, but they are finally releasing Advance Wars Reboot Camp.
Yes, they are, which is, I thought this was, so this Direct had ups and downs, okay? It wasn't 40 minutes of straight hits, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm, you know, if you've been listening to us for a while, you know I'm a diehard Nintendo fan. And I like, I've got my ears to the streets on everything Nintendo. Okay. Because I have an obsession and it will never die. All right. this direct started off strong with Pikmin 4. I'm hyped for that. I love Pikmin, and I'm really excited, and this game looks great. Okay, they showed a trailer with a bunch of shit and gameplay and just everything you could have ever wanted from a brand new Pikmin trailer. I got in that opening of that direction. I'm like, oh, this shit's gonna hit. It's gonna be fire. And then they go straight in to, like, okay, I think Xenoblade 3 DLC was there, and I love Xenoblade 3, I really do, but the DLC didn't have, like, a lot of, like, it wasn't, like, a bit, like, there weren't a ton of details on the story-type DLC. It was, like, a new character, and then maybe a couple details here and there. But then they went into a bunch of, like, random stuff that I think very few people care about, like, some dancing game, some fashion dreamer game, a bunch of like mobile looking games. They had that Dead Cells DLC, Return to Castlevania, which is cool. It's like a interesting Dead Cells crossover. Give me an excuse to jump back into that. I think that'd be dope. And then like more and more, you know, a ton of just random stuff that I was not interested in. I'm like, are you guys going to show like something good? I mean, like, y'all haven't had a direct in forever. Y'all are just showing stuff that's already been announced, DLC for games we've already played. Bayonetta Origins, which I like the actual Bayonetta games, but this does not look up my alley. This looks like some weird offshoot, and I'm all for some, like, you know, spinoffs with some like creative direction or whatever, and I'm sure somebody out there will like this. It's just not me. More DLC for Splatoon 3 and Fire Emblem, which I'm playing Fire Emblem now. Great new characters, cool. Just more DLC for games I'm already playing or already played. And like, I'm in Nintendo Directs for announcements, bro. Like, if you want to announce DLC, like, do that shit in like a press release or like some article on IGN or something. Like, you do not need to put this in a direct. I'm here for like learning about shit I don't already know about. But then they go into what you mentioned before, Advance Wars 1+2 Reboot Camp. That's releasing April 21st. That's exciting. Really looking forward to that. Like I said, love tactical RPGs and stuff like that. And Fire Emblem's got me right now. I'm like, please don't shadow drop this, because I'm like, I'm obsessed with Fire Emblem, and I will drop Fire Emblem to play this game.
I'm surprised they didn't shadow drop it, given the fact that it's done. I know, like,
yeah, it's been done forever.
Yeah, people got bugged, like the release date was bugged on some people's Switches, so they just got their copy of the game when it was supposed to come out like a year ago.
I remember. But yeah, that.
Nintendo got all scared because, like, I guess Blue Moon is a Russia analog, but you have to for that even to matter. Like, I mean, I guess the whole Ukraine war thing did happen, but like, I don't think it really has an effect on your cartoon tactical, like, fucking war game. But then again, the same series had their debut get pushed back by 9/11. So it's kind of a repeat.
Yeah, that's so weird. Is Advance Wars just bad luck? Like, I don't know, man.
It could be. I don't know.
They then go on Octopath Traveler 2 demo of it. I like the way Nintendo does demos, because like, you can just roll over your progress directly into the game. Like, on most of their demos, they do that. So you can play the first few hours of Octopath Traveler 2, basically, which comes out later. And I'm a huge fan of the first one, so excited to play that. Sea of Stars, I think, was a Kickstarter a long time ago. Looks really cool, old school inspired, like, turn-based RPG. So I'm excited to play that as well. That also came with a demo that came out right away. Nice. The Etrian Odyssey games, the three games that came out, what was that, on the DS or the 3DS? I can't remember. Do you know?
I think it was 3DS.
Okay, yeah, those games are gonna come out. They're re-releasing those.
Huh, nice.
And And then Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe. Not interested. But the big one of the biggest announcements ever was Game Boy Advance added to Nintendo Switch Online.
And it's a pretty big deal.
I did not think that they would add Game Boy Advance, dude. I didn't. That was a surprise to me. I expected Game Boy. Did not expect Game Boy Advance. And Game Boy Advance is the one I really wanted. Although I'm really hyped for playing the Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons games from the Game Boy. Game Boy Advance being there opens the opportunity for Mother 3, which I'm sure everybody's going to talk about endlessly until it happens.
You think they'll actually do it?
I think this is the perfect chance for them to do it. If they didn't think that this was all anyone was going to talk about after they added this, then they're crazy. But they'll do this at like a summer direct that's supposed to be like around E3 or something, and it'll be like some big surprise they have or whatever. But yeah, I do think they'll do it. I do. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna jump into Minish Cap like as soon as possible, because it's been ages since I've played that game and I loved it. So Minish Cap is on there right now, and I'm super excited to play that. And my favorite announcement from this whole direct was the Metroid Prime Remaster Shadow Drop. And they didn't do it the Nintendo way where they charge $60. They're selling this for $40, and it's a huge overhaul. Like I've been looking at like screenshots and gameplay online. This game is heavily remastered, like seriously upgraded. Like it is night and day how much better this game looks than the original. It's incredible. So props to Nintendo for not releasing it for $60 like they do with every other remaster they do, including like Skyward Sword, etc. And also props to them for shadow dropping it, and also props to them for making it look and play amazing. Everything I've heard about it has been positive. So excited to play that. And then there is a new Professor Layton game, which is cool. And then the big Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer drop. That game, like every time I see something from it, I'm just kind of shocked that this is even happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's insane. Like, this trailer was crazy. He was like riding a fucking spaceship, driving a car, jumping out of the sky, flying through the air and shit, like going underground in caves. And like, bro, like, what are we doing in this game? Still have no idea what this is, Frank. But every time I see a new trailer for it, I'm like seeing shit that's like, what is going on here? Like, is it like I'm gonna end up playing this game until the end of time?
Yeah, it's like a Yore Hunter from the Future thing where you think it's like all medieval and then there's robots and shit around. But you know, I guess the original Breath of the Wild kind of had that going on too.
Yeah,
I mean, you get handed a cell phone basically.
Yeah, I think this one is going to be far more fleshed out with a lot like more shit to do. I'm hoping they bring back dungeons. But like the original Breath of the Wild, great, and I'm definitely going to revisit it before the new one comes out. Give it a nice little new playthrough. But I feel like this one is going to be really, really like next level, dude. Like from the stuff I'm seeing, it just seems so much more than just roaming around Hyrule killing some random shit as it comes up until you get to Ganon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This seems absolutely insane.
How do you feel about Nintendo joining the $70 club in terms of game prices?
If there was a single game that was worth it, it's this one. I mean, I would have I would have paid that for Breath of the Wild. You know, there's certain games that, like, I don't mind doing that for. And I'm not saying that just because, like, I'm a diehard Zelda fan and I will play every Zelda that ever comes out, period, multiple times. But you could get endless enjoyment out of this game, probably. I mean, I put hundreds of hours into Breath of the Wild. And I think the reason they're doing that, if I read correctly, is they have to use a 32 gig cartridge.
Nintendo still has media costs to worry about. I forgot that at least theirs makes sense. I don't necessarily think that games should be that expensive, full stop, but at least Nintendo has physical hardware costs to worry about. These other studios that are just pressing Blu-rays and charging me that much for them, like, come on.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I agree.
They probably have to put different, like, stuff that tastes bad on it to handle the 32 gigs, too.
Yeah, yeah. They had to put, like, a new film on there to keep kids from eating it. Don't eat your dad's $70 Zelda game.
Yeah, we invented Flamin' Hot cartridges, so give me an extra $10.
Flamin' Hot cartridges, dude.
But yeah, that's real. That's a lot of stuff. I definitely want to check out that Metroid Prime remake. Just look into it, because I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that they're still working on 4, and, like, you know, they might have already been in those assets and just were like, yeah, let's make it look pretty.
There are people that are speculating Metroid Prime 4 is coming out as, like, the big fall game. I'm not one of those people. I think Metroid Prime 4 is a Switch 2 game. And I think this, based on this Direct, I think the Switch 2 or whatever Nintendo's next thing is coming very soon. There weren't a lot of big announcements. And what do we know about after Zelda in May? Nothing. When was the last time a new huge Mario game came out? Odyssey?
Yeah, that would have to be Odyssey.
Right? So, I mean, they're stashing away and saving these big IPs right now. And I think they're doing it for a new console launch that's coming soon. And I think this new Zelda game is kind of like a send-off for the Switch. It's the last big thing you're going to get. And then you'll probably get some other stuff trickled in the fall. Like, we're getting Pikmin 4 this year, which is great. But you're not going to see the heavy hitters like, you know, Mario and shit like that until a new console comes.
Yeah, you're not going to see, like, I don't know, Mr. Do. You're not going to see F-Zero until the Switch 2 comes out.
I think the new Switch or whatever they do next is going to launch with a new Mario game.
It wouldn't surprise me, but yeah, having having Breath of the Wild at the start and then Tears of the Kingdom at the end kind of is a nice little bookend.
Yeah, I agree. I'm so excited to play this. Like, there's nothing. Like, this is going to end up being Game of the Year, dude. Like, I can't wait for this. I mean, like, time will be taken off of work for this game.
Nice. And my consumption of video games is just so fucking weird these days. Like, I don't pay full price for anything, really, and usually it's my backlog I'm touching, but there's a lot of stuff on the Switch that, like, even stuff that I bought that I still need to play.
Yeah, the backlog grows ever so quickly when you have adult responsibilities.
Yeah, I'm really interested in that Front Mission 2 remake on Switch, because
yeah,
Front Mission 1, like, you know, you can play it on SNES fine with a translation patch. In fact, or the DS version, I'd probably recommend going that route because I like a lot of the sprite art and the music better than what they did in the remake. I think the remake of that game is a little, I hate the whole soul versus soulless meme, but, like, sterile, I guess soulless is what I'm saying. But yeah. Front Mission 2, the issue with the original Front Mission 2 is that, like, it had really, really nice dynamic battles that you had to wait about 30 seconds to load every time you went to fight someone. So if they remove that but keep the dynamics of the animation, that game is going to be really cool. All we have is a little trailer snippet right now, but it does look like they did that. So I'm excited for that whenever it comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you.
But yeah, speaking of stabbing things in the face in a big field, I guess we can swing around to talking about Elden Ring.
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
So I probably have about like 20 hours into the game at this point, I think. But I'm still in the first area because I suck. this is my first Souls game playing. Like I've watched people play the other ones. In fact, I watched so much Dark Souls 1 that I will never play that game because I've seen it 3 times. But this game, it's I'm gonna echo a lot of like criticisms that people have already had about the Souls franchise, and I'm talking about the one that's supposed to be the accessible one, so I'm pretty sure that all the diehard Souls grognards are like, get good, motherfucker, but like, I don't like how old school this game is. That I mean, I feel like I'm playing Ultima Underworld or something, where it just kind of plops you in with a vague idea of where you're supposed to go, and it's like, well, figure it out, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude, it really is. And you can miss a lot of really important shit if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I found out that I did some bosses completely fucking backwards. Like,
which ones have you done so far?
So, bosses I've actually killed, I got rid of the wolf guy, and I did him before I did those people in the coastal cave, like the fucking abhumans or whatever the hell they're called, like the adhuman chiefs. And I wish I had done those first, because that battle was actually kind of trivial compared to Wolf guy I did by the skin of my fucking teeth, but like,
oh, so you originally did the wolf guy. Okay.
Yeah, I did them out of order, essentially. But originally what I had done is, the game was like, oh yeah, follow the magic, follow the magic wizard line or whatever the hell it is, follow the grace. So I was like, sure, I'll do that. And that led me to that area with the fucking troll that jumps from the top and tries to eat your lunch. And I was like, well, I also need to preface this saying I'm trying not to wiki anything at all, and trying to just play it like I would play a video game normally, even though I know a lot of people are like, you have to play these games with guides, but like, I knew about enough about it to where like, I know that in some situations running away from whatever the hell's after you is the best option. So I was like, maybe the game just wants me to run past this guy entirely. So I run past him, I get to, like, fucking Stormwind Vale or whatever the hell it is, and I end up, like, fucking, I go past that, like, I figure out how to get past that castle area with the trebuchet that's shooting you in the face, and then I get my fucking face rocked by Margaret the fell-handed whatever the fuck.
Yep. That was the
Yeah, and then I look up, like, the level they expect me to be when I fight that guy. It's like, oh yeah, you're supposed to be, like, around level 20 with, like, a +3 weapon, and I think I was at, like, level 6 or whatever the hell.
Oh, God. Yeah, what class did you go with?
Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but the one with the Jesus robes on. Artificer?
Is that the magic one?
It might be, but I'm not really using magic much.
Oh, God, then you're doing it wrong, Frank.
Here's the thing, he's not like, so what I wanted to do was I wanted to play a battle mage. I picked the class that seemed to have the most balanced stats in terms of stabbing and also wizardry.
I'm trying to figure out which one that is. I'm looking at him now. Okay, so astrologer, I think, is the one that is all magic, because that's
the I picked the guy who's in the black robes.
Yeah, that is the Confessor.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and that's a good class to, like, that's like a battle mage class. I tried the Astrologer at first and just did magic, and it was, like, I don't know, too easy, and, like, it doesn't seem fun. I didn't get a lot of, like, enjoyment out of just like standing like millions of miles back away from the enemies and just cheesing them with like spells like the whole time. It's just not fun. So I went and restarted as a samurai, having a blast with the samurai. I made it. I'm about 30 hours in. Mind you, I've played slash started this game like three different times with different classes, etc. I'm probably having the most fun with the samurai, though. And yeah, I made it to the third boss, I believe, which is, I think, Godfrey. Like the third main boss.
Yeah.
I beat like the tree sentinel or whatever, that gold thing on a horse.
Yeah, that ticket.
Yeah, I cheesed the fuck out of that boss, dude. I like with my samurai, you get a bow. I jumped on the top of this building and then just found a corner that like he would just like go up to the building and just stand there and like let me shoot him.
Nice.
With the bow. Like forever. So I just did that, beat him pretty easily. But yeah, I find myself just like roaming around, not knowing what to do. And like we keep talking about this, dude. We're old and we have like a lot of shit to do. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Sometimes I'll sit down with this game and I'll feel like I have made zero progress. Like there was nothing. I got nothing out of that play session.
That yeah, especially if you like, if you get like fucking whacked in the face by something, lose all of your souls, and then like I had an instance where I had 2,000. I said souls. They're like relics or runes or runes. So I had 2,000 runes on me, which was enough for a level up. I should have cashed them in. Instead, I got killed by something. And then I went to go get them, but it was like, it was on, they were on the beach, so I had to jump down. I jumped from the wrong place and died.
Oh, no. Yeah.
But, like, I definitely, I understand. It feels like a game that, like, doesn't, and it feels like it doesn't really have respect for your time in the sense that like you can lose a lot of progress just by the nature of how the runes work and how if you die you lose all of them and have to go pick up your corpse. Granted, there's a lot of RPGs that do that, but like that, and saying all that, and I did almost bounce off this game super hard, but once I got like enough level ups to where I could put enough points into strength to wield the broadsword that I like got, that's when the game got fun for me.
Yeah, once you can start pouring stuff into kind of like fleshing out your character, it does start getting addictive. Like I'm like, oh, there's this one weapon in some fucking cave that is some, like I start looking up stuff. I'm like, oh, there's this fucking katana in some like cave that I really need to get to like beat some boss that I spent forever on, finally got the katana, and that was super rewarding, right? But there's just too much time I spend where I'm just not progressing through the game at all. And I'll walk away from a 2-hour game session where I'm just like, yeah, that was a big old waste of time. And I understand, like, I see the appeal and like the game of the year prowess from it, like how everyone's like, this is, you know, revolutionary, right? Like there's just like this certain feeling you get from playing it. And it's not like any other game that's out there. And you're right, it doesn't really respect your time at all, but it doesn't care.
Yeah.
About
like it wants you, it really wants you to approach the game how it wants you to approach the game, to the point where, like, thinking about, like, the gate ruins area, like, which is, you know, this is still all stuff on Noob Island, right? But, like, how that area, the game definitely wants you to stealth that area. Like, the only way you can clear it, if you meet it at, like, you know, when you first start the game, is to stealth it and also avoid or cheese the guy with the spear at the end of it. But he's not really at the end. He's in the mix, and you can get everybody because there's that guy with the horn to summon everybody and just like have them beat the fucking piss out of you. But like they want you to stealth that. I don't want to stealth that area. And like yeah. I wanna just stab a bunch of like stab all the guys. Like I feel like my biggest problem with it, and granted, you know, this franchise of games doesn't really seem like the goal is to be the traditional power fantasy, but like that first area, that like area that like, because I'm gated behind Margaret, right? So that I'm basically limited to that first area right now, and that area is like sparsely populated with enemies to the point where it feels like you can't get a good, like, I don't know, probably like 4-dude fight going with stuff. Like, you know, you can fight off a pack of wolves, but like in terms of enemies that are like actual threats, like it's either one guy who's really easy to beat or a shitload of guys, and there's like too fucking many of them. You either get out of it by the skin of your teeth or you just get beat the hell. Like there's no Goldilocks zone of the game making you feel like you're anything more than just some asshole with a sword in a field. And yeah. That seems to be the goal, don't get me wrong. And like, this isn't to say that I don't like the game. In fact, I'm probably going to play it after this, but it's definitely a game that like is more about wandering around and like finding shit and experiencing stuff organically than it is a game where you like meet someone and they're like, oh yeah, I need you to go get this thing and like bring it back to me, or fuck, you know, your standard World of Warcraft, go get me 6 alligator hearts quest. Like there's not really much of that.
No, there's not. In fact, that can be frustrating at times. Not that it's to that level, but sometimes you just don't know what the fuck to do, dude. And I don't want to have a walkthrough open right next to me when I'm playing a game the whole time. I'll like come up to a door and it's like, oh, you need some obscure fucking thing to get through here. And it's like, oh, the fucking map is so goddamn gigantic. I have no idea where to go to find this thing. I don't feel like thumbing through walkthroughs and threads on fucking Reddit on how to fucking find this thing and get through this door, or the right way to approach this, or what level I'm supposed to be at, or what I'm supposed to do. Like I'll find myself getting down like these rabbit holes of like, oh, but before you do that, do this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this first. Don't do that yet. And it's like, I didn't even want to do this.
And the game will give you none of this information.
And I have to apparently do like a whole list of chores.
Yeah.
Before I can do that. And no, dude, like that part of this game is not enjoyable to me. And I don't know if it's because it doesn't respect my time and I don't have time for it. And I don't know if it's just like, I don't know. So let's compare Breath of the Wild, because Breath of the Wild has that sense of discovery to it, not quite to this level. But it has that kind of like drop you in, you know, figure it out type thing. Yeah. And I felt that when I was playing Breath of the Wild, I could consistently figure shit out on my own. There wasn't just like this ongoing feeling where it's like, dude, if I play this game too long without a walkthrough, I'm going to end up fucking myself over and digging myself in a hole so deep that I can't get out of. Like, I just felt like, you know, Breath of the Wild had that sense of discovery. It urges people to explore. It rewards you for, you know, exploration and things like that in a way that does kind of respect your time, but at the same time isn't so overly complicated that you have to sit there with a walkthrough next to you the entire
time. Yeah, I don't feel like having a walkthrough open is playing a video game so much as it's like doing a checklist. Like, I suppose I still have to mechanically fight things at that point, but like, I feel like if I'm playing with a walkthrough, I'm missing out on a huge portion of what this role-playing game is supposed to give you. But like, and this is where we have to bring up the Toddware. Like, you know, some of the Elder Scrolls games do kind of, especially Morrowind, just kind of drop you in directionless like this. But like, the thing about Morrowind is that you can talk to people. Like, for first off, there's way more NPCs in that game than there are in Elden Ring. Secondly, you can talk to people and learn things, learn a shitload of things, and all of that stuff will be written down for you, and you can, like you can make your own walkthrough, essentially, and that's organic RPG gameplay to me, is, like, going up to a guy and talking to him about stuff, and eventually he's like, oh, have you heard of the High Elves? You know, that classic line. Like, that's, there's no guy who's like, have you heard of the High Elves in Elden Ring, aside from, like...
No, dude, it's a riddle. It'll be some thing that doesn't even speak English, and it'll give you some, like, complicated-ass riddle that you can't fucking translate, and you'll be like, oh, well, what the fuck does any of that mean?
Yeah, that's really...
That's the type of shit that happens in Elden Ring, bro.
Like, and it feels like the message system is there kind of to paper over some of that, like, lack, and also there for you to get information that's vague enough to where you can fuck yourself. I remember I found this area with a bunch of zombies, and then you go down and, like, kill a bunch of rats, and then you go further in, and there's a treasure chest, and I see a bunch of, like things that people posted, but then they're just like, it's a fucking trap. So I'm like, okay, this is probably going to be a mimic or something, or it's going to throw an enemy at me. And I said, so I hit the chest, not a mimic, and then I open it, and it's like, oh, teleportation trap. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I remember. I did that. Happened to me, yeah. Too.
You get fucking teleported to the diamond zone, and I don't know about you, but the first time it fucking happened to me, like fucking meth grandpa, who's supposed to ignore you, came into the fucking room with me and beat the shit out of me and killed me, of course. And then I respawned there, and I'm like, man, I can't fucking get out of here. And then I had to look, and it... Yeah, it turns out it's like, just go around the corner, sneak around the corner. It's easy, but this, like, happened to
2 out of 2 people.
This happened to 2 out of 2 people. Too. And I'm sure you got, like, one-shotted by the thing on the roof multiple times too, right?
Yeah, it was game-breaking to me. It completely made me want to put the game down and never play it again.
Yeah, I was like, did I just fucking soft-lock this character in this room?
Yeah.
Did you hear, like, this game's reputation too? And I'm the only thing I used to, before I had played any of these games, compare the Elder Scroll, like, Elder Scrolls, wow. Compare, like, the Souls series to, in terms of difficulty, Armored Core. But the thing about Armored Core is that it's divided into discrete missions, and you have someone explain what you're supposed to do at the start of the mission. Granted, they may be lying or may have incomplete information, but it's something. This game is just kind of like, yeah, figure it out, go for it, whatever.
Good luck.
Yeah, you know, good luck, motherfucker.
And part of me is like, sometimes, like, I want to do that, but rare, but it's rare, and I want to be rewarded for it. And it's like, okay, well, sometimes I am rewarded, and I don't want to seem like I'm shitting on this game a lot, but, like, the hook is when you start leveling up and fleshing out your character and getting further in the game, but it's hard to tough through to that point. This game does not immediately grab you and be like, this is a great game, keep playing. It doesn't hook you in that way. Like, it drags. The beginning of the game, like, kind of fucking sucks. Like,
oh yeah, especially, like, when, like, you're encountering things and you're like fucking Margaret, like, okay, I followed what I thought the game wanted me to do, but that apparently wasn't it. So is it saying that I need to get better at fighting this guy, or is it saying that I need to grind for more levels? And if it's grind for more levels, I really feel like that opening area is, like, in terms of encounters,
so boring.
Yeah, and there's, you just, like, keep doing the same shit over and over.
You find, like, 2 different areas to just beat the same enemies over and over again for hours to get to the right, to the, get to a level high enough to beat him. And that's what I did, essentially. And it's like that, like, the beginning of that game is not good. And I think Elden Ring does that less efficiently than any of the From Software games. Like, Dark Souls grabbed me right away. I felt like the pacing was good. The enemy variety was good. The environments at the beginning were good. Demon Souls as well. I felt Bloodborne especially was great right away. Like, it just felt really good and rewarding, like, kind of from the jump. Elden Ring was just like, what is this? Like, I couldn't tell, like you said, whether I was supposed to be grinding, whether the game was just supposed to be hard. How much of this is an action game? How much of this is an RPG? What am I supposed to be doing? Am I playing the wrong character? Like, am I just not good enough with this? Should I switch characters?
Yeah, did I fuck up my build? Like, am I supposed to stealth this area? Like,
nothing makes sense.
Yeah, there's no conveyance whatsoever. And I mean, it's interesting that you say that about, like, Dark Souls and some of the other games, because from what I had heard, this was supposed to be the accessible one. So, yeah, I'm going to keep playing it. Like I said, like, now that I have this new weapon, I'm starting to feel the itch. But, like, so games are, at the end of the day, a system for delivering dopamine to, I don't want to get all fucking like your brain is just a series of chemicals and all of your emotions are fake. Like, I'm not trying to say that, but at the end of the day, a video game is a dopamine delivery system, be it like, you know, Kirby, where it's just everything's fucking easy and breezy and you're having fun that way, or it's challenging and then you surmount the challenge and that's where you get your dopamine hit. And that's what, like, the Souls series of games, or at least Elden Ring, wants to do. But then I think about this game versus something like Diablo 2, right? Diablo 2 can be pretty fucking difficult, especially on the harder difficulties, but the difference between that game and my experience with at least this initial area of Elden Ring is that, like, there's stuff for me to kill. There's a lot of things for me to find and weird little, like, rabbit holes for me to go down. And, like, I don't feel constantly starved for money, which is another thing.
Yeah, Diablo 2 is amazing. I actually need to hit up that remaster. Like, I started it and never finished it. But, yeah, I love Diablo 2.
Yeah, I need to get that now that I can probably get it somewhere that doesn't involve giving Active Blizzard money.
But, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. That's my experience with Elden Ring thus far. I'm gonna keep playing it. I definitely think that I will probably get more into it as things progress, as I get, like, you know, get more of the combat system under my feet too, because I started approaching it like it was just like it was fucking Shadow of Mordor or something, where you can, like, just, you know, for the most part, slash people up until you start getting to the harder enemies. But no, every encounter in that game can kill you.
Yeah,
and you have to understand when to, like, block, when to do the guard cancel attack, when to do jump attacks, when to dodge, and you need to read these enemies, which often involves a lot of trial and error, which is when we get back to the whole, it feels like this game doesn't have respect for you because it expects in all aspects of it trial and error, which is how it's an old school experience, like fucking Hydlight or something on, like, the NES. But
yeah, dude,
I do enjoy the combat system. I do think it feels really good. I just wish I was a bit tankier. Like, I wish I could absorb damage more, and I wish that the game had more room for mistakes other than just, oh, you died, respawn at the thing.
Yeah, be better, learn how to play this fight, do it 100 times, etc.
Yeah, because I'm sitting there playing it, like, my roommate who's played these games before, like, and has played, like, beaten Bloodborne, was, like, looking at the speared guy, like, oh, they gave him a bunch of fucking Bloodborne moves, including this bullshit spear move that he probably, like, it's a real fuck you, they gave this to that guy when you're at this level. And I'm like, oh, awesome, cool.
Yeah, he was a pain, especially at the early levels, for sure.
I still haven't killed him properly. I just gank him with wolves and then, like, stab him while he's distracted. And granted, that might be what the game wants me to do, but I want to kill him head on.
Yeah, you can do the magic class like I did at first, where I literally just stand really far away from him and, like, spam him with magic spells until he dies.
Yeah, and that seemed kind of lame to me. Like, I don't want to, like, I'm fine with the idea of being, like, a battle mage and, like, casting a thing here and there. But, I don't like the idea of just, like, standing behind stuff and fucking just throwing spells all day and cheesing them. Like, it feels like I'm not really engaged. I think that at the end of the day, like, the type of game I'm looking for is more in line with, like, Shadow of Mordor or something like that. And I know I talk that game up a lot, but it is very good and can also be very challenging. But the way it's challenging is that the combat is so fluid and feels so good that it just gets you to bite off more than you can chew, and that's how that game kills you.
Yeah.
Elden Ring is just like, hey, here's a new guy you haven't seen before. Guess what? He murdered you. Fuck off.
Yeah, and he's gonna do it again and again and again and again. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like I've probably progressed quite a bit further than you. But yeah, it's just one of those things, you know. As you get further, I think it'll get better.
Oh yeah, let me actually look at my play time, because I probably massively overestimated the amount of time I've actually played it. Hello, Steam, can you fucking show up, please? Let's see, where does it play time? Oh, what did I say, 20 hours? That was a lie. 6.
Oh no. Yeah, I have actually played almost 30.
Yeah, so.
And that doesn't include like the 40 or so I put into it before we started playing back when it came out.
And I think that like part of the reason why my playtime is so low is that like I kept avoiding it just because I was like, I know I'm going to hate this initially.
Yeah. I know what you mean. You could just get past the first boss. And things get quite a bit more interesting.
Oh yeah, it's already started to get more fun. Like I said, just like having a different weapon that I like more, and also like just having had enough levels and being familiar enough with the game to where I don't feel like everything out of every random corner is going to murk me. It started feeling good that way. But yeah, you know, we got a couple weeks until our next recording, so I'm sure I will have more thoughtful and more mature opinions about it then, and until then, yeah.
I mean, that's where I'm landing on it. I don't really have much else to say on Elden Ring at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think we covered everything for today?
I think so, Frank. I think we did.
Sweet. Well, that's gonna round us out for today. We will catch you in a couple weeks for another smooth burrito. See you later.
Later on.